This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch with John McDermott of The Economist magazine, who ventured into the Great Lakes region of the Democratic Republic of Congo that borders on Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi. This is an area that we first came across in the genocide of the late 20th century in Rwanda, but the region remains as confused and violent and out of reach of order as possible. There is even a UN operation operating at some point in this Great Lakes region, but we need now to ask questions. John is very forgiving of me because I take my notes and I get confused about sponsors. The gang is called M23. It's revived. And John, the puzzle here is, does it have state sponsorship in some fashion? Do these gangs seek state sponsorship? In what state?
Yes. So we talked about ADF, the chocolate smuggling jihadists, and we talked about Kadeko, who are the local group allegedly committing genocide. Now let's talk about M23. M23 is slightly different from the other 119 groups. It has a clear state sponsor, according to the United Nations. That state sponsor is Rwanda. Now, Rwanda is a relatively small country compared with DRC, but it has long meddled in its giant neighbor. And that is partly because following the genocide in Rwanda in 1994, many of the perpetrators led to the larger country, and the government in Rwanda felt insecure without dealing with what it considered to be an existential threat. But it's also, like for the militia groups, a source of illicit economic activity for Rwanda. Anyway, M23 was active quite a lot in 2012 and 2013. It took the main town called Goma back then, but has been dormant for almost a decade. Now, in November, it reemerged, and since then has killed dozens of civilians, it's taken a few towns, and there's been rumors of it even going so far as to recapture Goma. Unlike the other armed groups, though, it looks much more like a conventional army. It has heavy artillery. It seems to be less involved in the trafficking operations. And from what we can tell, and from what the UN and other analysts suggest, ultimately, M23, unlike the other militia groups, is more of a proxy army of Rwanda's, and therefore is used to fight these kind of state-to-state conflicts as opposed to being one of these kind of rebel militia.
Rwanda is a state actor, and that brings me back to the question of other state actors. You mentioned in your reporting that Uganda is aware of this violence, and Museveni is the longtime leader of Uganda. Does Uganda have, in conversation with any of these groups, does it serve the purpose to along the border?
I mean, Eastern Congo has been a venue of meddling by neighboring states for many years. During that Second Congo War, there were 8 other African states fighting over the carcass of Eastern Congo. Now, the 3 most important are Burundi, Rwanda, and Uganda. Uganda has been invited in by the government of Congo to help fight ADF, these jihadists. But the problem is that when any one of these neighboring countries gets involved, it causes the others to feel jealous over what they feel is their sphere of influence. So while Rwanda and Uganda and their president, Paul Kagame and Yoweri Museveni, have a kind of long-standing on-off friendship, more often on these days, they're also competing for influence in Eastern Congo. And so long as these neighboring states are competing for influence on top of the anarchy that exists because of the absence of the Congolese state, there will not be peace and stability in the region. And for all his many flaws, one good thing that the current Congolese president, Felix Tshisekedi, has done is to try and look beyond those neighboring states and to seek the help of the regional hegemon, which is Kenya, a country that perhaps few more of your listeners may have heard of.
Yes, one, I'm glad you mentioned the president of the Democratic Republic of Congo, Tshisekedi, his name. because there's the suggestion that the army that he's putting in the field, FARDC, Fardic, is also violent. Is that a concern here that the army uses its weapons against civilians?
Yes, it's a huge problem. After the Second Congo War ended in 2003, there was a peace deal, but there was never really peace. And one of the reasons for that was because you had these politicians in Kinshasa, the capital of DRC, more than 1,000 miles away from the east. They feared coup d'etat. So they were quite happy to let the army move into the east, have its own fiefdom there. And the army is essentially a lawless organization. It has none of the discipline that you might be familiar with from the US or kind of British military. It runs vast patronage networks. In some cases, it's complicit with the armed groups in smuggling. In other cases, it's fighting armed groups over smuggling routes. Anyway, what matters is it's not conducive to the stability of the region. In fact, it can contribute to the instability of the region because it's been allowed by politicians who fear for their own careers to run a parallel operation there. The UN and various human rights groups have pointed the finger at the army repeatedly for corruption and for human rights abuses. In fact, according to the data, only ADF and CADECO has actually killed more civilians than the army over the past few years. And that's why it is kind of laughable to suggest that martial law in these two most affected provinces could lead to peace, because for many Congolese, the army is the problem, not the solution.
What we have here, John, with just a minute left, is, first of all, overwhelming detail about these cross purposes. But at this point, the UN, you also report, the peacekeeping force is unpopular. There are protests against it. And in our final 30 seconds, is the UN in some fashion in a position to intervene, or is it now to be pushed out of the region because of its unpopularity? We have 30 seconds.
The UN mission in DRC, MONUSCO, is a peacekeeping mission. The problem is there is no peace to keep.
Right.
So long as DRC is not providing an effective state in that area, it doesn't matter who you try to outsource your security to, you will not solve the fundamental problem, which is anarchy.
John McDermott, reporting for The Economist magazine. He's the African correspondent in a region that is very difficult to imagine without seeing it. But it challenges, as John's headline in The Economist, "Dispatch from a Forgotten War." This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.